Well, we want to welcome you back to another edition of the Word for Life radio broadcast. I'm the host, Sam Horn, pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, and with me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Olala. We've been talking, you and I, for the last number of shows about how to answer the question that we read in James 4, what is our life? And really not trying to answer that in terms of defining life, but in making life meaningful. We began by talking pretty in-depth in our previous broadcast about David and how God chose this overlooked individual, somebody that would end up becoming great in God's sight and yet initially was overlooked by all of the important people in his life. We finished, before we got to the very familiar segment in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and going all the way into 17 about David and Goliath. I think all of our listeners are familiar with that story, and yet it plays an important part in helping us to understand how to make our life count for God. And so I wonder if you'd just take some time this morning and kind of walk us through that passage and show us how that segment relates to the issue of defining our life.
Well, David, after he was chosen, he was not yet king. He went back to faithfully serving as a servant, shepherd boy. In the meantime, Saul, David's brothers, the warriors of...
Now, this is after his anointing.
This was after the anointing.
So he just actually went back to his everyday life, in other words.
Right. He did not become king. And when David had to go to the battlefield, David's father wanted to see how the brethren were faring on the battlefield with Saul. And so he called David, and David literally had to be called from the sheepfold again. And he was sent, and we see characteristics of David's life. As he comes out to the battlefield, he discovers what his brothers and Saul and the other warriors were facing was this giant called Goliath. And he was called the champion. He was the champion of the Philistines. 9 feet 9 inches tall, and you add a helmet on top of that and all of the armor, the spear head weight of a college shot, put probably 100+ pounds of armor on him.
Sounds like an Old Testament NBA player.
Yeah, he does. Shaquille O'Neal with a helmet on. And here's David, who by standards of that day was not a tall person. And I don't think Saul was extremely tall by today's standards, but I think he was head and shoulders above others. Maybe Saul may have been 6 foot plus, but David may have been 5 foot five plus in that category. But we find this champion challenging the people. He is saying, send me a man. So we see the giant, first of all, in this text. He was awesome. He was a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, basically 9 feet 9 inches tall. A giant of a man, very awesome, appeared to be invulnerable. And then we see that he was arrogant, inflated, way beyond his own ability. He had begun to believe his own press releases. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man to come and let him come down to me. He made very arrogant, inflated statements. But then he was anti-God. And this is where he sealed his doom. In verse 26, we find that he had taken a complete anti-God position. And David speaks to the men when he gets to the battlefield, what shall be done to this man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? He has defied the armies of the living God. So we see the giant was awesome, he was arrogant, and he was anti-God. And if we look as believers today at the giants that we face, the giant of humanism, for example, seems extremely awesome, invulnerable, very arrogant, inflated in their presuppositions, and anti-God. God is no part of their thinking.
And anybody who comes along in David's role to challenge that looks puny in their sight.
Oh, absolutely.
Powerless.
Yeah. In other words, you look at the average Christian today in light of the world, in light of humanism, in light of the philosophies of the world, by human standard, it appears to be very puny.
You know, where this really shows up in a lot of our listeners' lives or even in their children's, when they have children particularly that go to the public school, they really are facing the very giants you talked about. In their biology classes.
Right.
When they come up against the giant of humanism and its, you know, high priest of evolution, and they stand up for biblical creationism and for the God of the Bible, they're literally scorned and mocked. you know, the story of David and Goliath is a wonderful reminder that there really still remain Goliaths today.
Right. The philosophies that we have to face today and the mocking that comes along with it. And yet God's people were in a covenant relationship mm-hmm. with God, but yet they were in bondage to the fear of Goliath. Mm. We have to remember, greater is he in us than he that is in the world. The United States is a pluralistic society, and it tolerates all except Christianity. Christianity does not seem to fit in the picture of pluralism. But thank the Lord for the power. Thank the Lord for the outreach and the local church's opportunity to preach the gospel and to go out and reach the lost.
You know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because every one of our listeners literally occupies the place of David somewhere.
Yes.
They are the front line. They are the ones today that are standing up, and they may not consider themselves as, I'm sure as David went down there, he didn't go down there thinking he was going to kill a giant that day.
No. One thing about David, he did what he was told to do. He did it quickly, obediently, with the right attitude. And he went there, and he didn't go to put on any show. He just went there in obedience. When he got to the battlefield, he had spent so much time concentrating on his great God that the giant was nothing but a little noisy mosquito to him. Mm. The warrior saw a big giant. David saw a big God. Mm. And that was the difference. Because I think we need to look now at God's man, the giant. We saw what he was like. What was God's man? We see he was sanctified by the Spirit. That's step number one, 16:3 of 1 Samuel, 16 and verse 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we see he was sanctified by the Spirit. He was set apart and then empowered by the Spirit. That's a must. We can't do this in the arm of the flesh.
And so often we try. So often we try,
well,
don't we?
We do, because we wake up, we're so proud, we think we can pull this off until God shows us otherwise. And then he was sent by his father, 1 Samuel chapter 17. He was sent by the father, and we find in that passage where he was obediently going. The dad says, David, come here, take these breads out to the battlefield and take them to thy brother. And David just tells the testimony that he had. And we in this world are sent by the Father.
Hmm.
You know, we are to do the Great Commission. And then thirdly, we see he was scorned by his brethren. Interesting that what he had to overcome before he ever got to the giant, he had to overcome the anger of a jealous brother. He had to overcome pride with good sense. He couldn't put Saul's uniform on. He had to be who he was. But he was scorned by the brethren. And Eliab, who was Saul's seemingly replacement. And when Samuel came on the scene and said, yeah, there's Eliab, he's the man. Eliab said, the older brother said to David in verse 28, his anger kindled against David, and he said, why did you come down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David is saying, what's this? I just came obeying Dad. Mm-hmm. I didn't come in with any purpose of my own. And don't be at all surprised as you try to walk with God. Your first battle is going to come from someone within the family of God. It's sad but true.
That's very interesting.
And the false accusations that were made, the false presumption, I know your pride, I know what you're up to, the judging of motive. And David says, what have I done now? Typical young brother. Now what have I done?
Let me ask this question before you move on to your next point, and I think we have enough time to throw this question in. What was it, do you think, that caused David's brethren to scorn him? What causes the family of God to look at somebody trying to serve God and scorn?
Well, I think their own faithlessness was exposed by David's faith. He comes and says, who's that? We've got to put him down. And here's this 17-year-old boy, and these guys have been out. Don't forget, this giant came out 80 times. He didn't just come out one morning and one evening. 40 days in a row.
Wow.
Two times a day. If we look at our calendars now and we say, okay, we're in February, and now in the middle of March, let's say we start this meeting the 10th of February, and then as we're getting toward the end of March, we're still gathering, we're all cowering in fear, everyone is wondering, where are we? And this giant begins to appear at this window mm-hmm. where we're meeting, and we're there literally 40 days. This is how long this giant had come out, two times a day. And the brethren were on the other hillside having a seminar on bigger and better ways to kill giants. And here comes this little kid and says, who's he? He's got to go. And I think his faith put their faithlessness to shame. And I think they were rebuked by David's faith. I think that's what the problem was. And then we find that he was stirred by a cause. He said, is there not a cause? David said, didn't I say this before? I told you this person has to go. The reproach has to be gone. The cause is the reproach has to be removed from God's people. And this giant has to go down. And how we need to be stirred by a cause. I asked Dr. Ed Panosian, a history teacher of many, many, many years. I said, I don't want to take a lot of your time, but Dr. Panosian, what comes to mind when I say the word youth in history? I said, give me a paragraph or a word, a sentence. He said, one word comes to my mind, and that's a cause. He said, young people were always attached to a cause. The Hitler Youth Corps, for example, the Crusades were run by young people who were given a vision by the adults. We need to get a new picture of the cause.
And then, here the cause was the honor of God.
Yeah, exactly.
The glory of God. It wasn't the advancement of a particular program or, you know, it really wasn't even the advancement of Israel. I mean,
no.
David is basically saying God's honor is at stake here.
That's right. The reproach has to be removed. And then he was strengthened by past experience, which is so good. That's why we need to keep works of God journals. Because David said, I was tending my father's sheep. A lion came, I killed a lion. A bear came and I killed a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine is no match for my God. That's why David came with a big view of God and a small view of the giant.
Give me just a few sentences or a few thoughts as a dad trying to raise a young boy. I've got an 8-year-old son. And I would like to see him grow up knowing God and selling out to a cause. And you mentioned something very important here about the works of God. How can I do that as a dad?
Do what we have done as a family is keep a works of God journal. Keep recording in our private devotion at times how have we seen God work. How have we seen God alive in the last 7 days? And we see an answered prayer. We see a provision of God. We see a person saved for whom we've prayed for a long time. And we see that God is alive today. That's what gives us confidence for further steps. If we don't see that, we become faithless. That's why I like to live many times in Hebrews chapter 11. Because we see how God worked in the past, how his mighty works worked in the past.
Really kind of the testimony chapter of the Bible.
Yes.
Why testimonies are such a valuable part of church. And it's interesting that you've chosen to focus on the servant of God rather than on the giant, when most of us would focus in on the giant. We appreciate very much you listening, and we're thankful for you, and we would love to hear from you.